Good morning, BMC, and welcome to our Songs of Praise service. Welcome to a morning of celebrating our God's faithfulness, entering his courts with praise, and reminding ourselves of his never-ending, abundant goodness. Today we want to take time to praise our God for mothers and the blessing they have been, the blessing they are, and the blessing they will continue to be to our world, our communities, and our homes. Some of us are able to celebrate Mother's Day with our moms today. Some of us are missing our moms today, either because of death or distance. My hope is that today we would be able to rejoice in God for his provision of mothers, to say thank you to the moms in our lives, whether they've given us birth or mothered us in another way, and to bless our moms. After I pray, we will hear singing from the children of our church as a gift to the moms listening. This recording is from last year, if it sounds familiar, but may it bless you all the same. Thank you to all of you who participated in this morning's service, whether that be through music, reading scripture, sharing, planning, or doing sound. The service will run unannounced with scripture reading, sharing, and music. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, and love that never ceases. Thank you that we can meet and worship in this way, and that you have provided good things for us. Thank you for our moms, and I pray great joy over the moms listening today, that they would be treasured, loved, and blessed. Thank you that you are in this moment, this church service, and that you delight in being here with us. May this service bring honor and glory to your name and nothing less. We love you. Amen.
From the King James Version, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
There are undeniably times in life when praise comes easily, when right in the middle of the moment you feel overcome with a sense of gratitude that just cannot be contained. In these moments, it is clear that the Lord is good. I have had my fair share of these moments this past year. on our wedding day, waking up from spinal cord surgery and moving my toes a little bit, taking my first steps after surgery, and coming home from the hospital, to name a few. But I've had many days in between, hard days, where praise feels completely unnatural, wrong even. My circumstances do not always feel good, and then it is hard for me to proclaim the goodness of God. Like when I sat in the doctor's office last August and was told I needed another spinal cord surgery, even after I had prayed and prayed for it not to happen. I did not feel like saying, "The Lord is good." When two nurses had to help me turn over in the night and I screamed out in pain, I did not feel like saying, "The Lord is good." When it is still so much work, even now, to move around and balance, and the recovery process feels way too long, I do not feel like saying, "The Lord is good," when my future is uncertain and I do not know what healing even looks like for me. I do not feel like saying, "The Lord is good." Praise is a gritty thing. It does not always come naturally, and sometimes it is very hard work. But I know it is important work, and it is good work. It is praise that allows me to rest in green pastures even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Praising God and choosing to acknowledge His goodness doesn't mean I'm not allowed to feel hurt or sad or scared. In fact, it's in praising God where I find room to feel those emotions, and ultimately it leads me to the hope and reassurance that I need without erasing the fact that life can be hard. As I am in this valley, acknowledging that God is good, finding the glimmer of His gifts, plumbing the depths of His love allows me to rest in green pastures where I can bask in the knowledge that I can trust His heart even when I can't see His hand.
Good morning. Here this morning, this is Harley, here with Josh is playing piano. Luke is playing some kit for us. And as always, Jesse's running the sound here. I want to say a couple words about the songs this morning. These songs are a lot of declaring that we worship God, that we glorify Him, that He is worthy. And I know that, you know, sometimes those songs are great, and sometimes they're exactly what we're feeling at the moment. But sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's not at all what we feel or thinking. But I think that those are the times where maybe we really need to sing these songs, because they're still true. God is still worthy. We're still called to worship Him. That's what we're for. So I just invite you to join in worship, however that looks for you at home. And just pray with me here. God, thank You for music. Thanks for the chance You've given us to worship You in this special way. I pray that You would help each person who listens to this to connect with You, God, that You would meet them wherever they are, that these songs and this whole service could be a real blessing and glory to You. In Your name, amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad." with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalm 100 from the NIV version. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Good morning. My name is Paul Peters, son of Ray and Corrine Peters. It's been a while since I've been at Bloomin' Art, and it's really exciting to be asked to share a little bit this morning. When my mom asked me if I'd be willing to share a little bit about Psalm 100 and what it means to glorify God, I took some time to thinking about it. And I mean, there's so many ways in which one could go. And I think for me, what it means to glorify God has shifted and altered and changed. And there's in different seasons of my life, it's meant different things. I can remember seasons in my life where the core of which glorifying God was with worship music and being a part of big, loud band style worship, where it felt like the emotion was so wrapped up in the music. And I felt like in those moments, I was connected to God in a very real way. And there was a season where that was so real and raw, and what really got me excited and made me feel connected to God. But I'd say in this season of life where I'm at right now, that looks a little bit different. And what it means to glorify God has shifted and changed. And where I experience that connectedness to God has changed significantly. One of the places that I would say I feel that real closeness or maybe a feeling like God is just all around me and a thankfulness is in nature. I think I first learned that in a very real way when I was in Australia, and I was, I started surfing and being out on the ocean in the midst of this incredible expanse that God created in something so big, it was even hard to fathom. But I remember every time I was out in the middle of the ocean, there was this connectedness, there was this peace, there was this feeling of God's presence. And now living back in Manitoba, whenever I go on a hike or out somewhere where it's peace and quiet and all I can hear is the birds singing or the wind, I feel like there's a sense of thankfulness or gratefulness that I don't know if I speak it out blatantly and loudly to God, but I know that I'm thinking it and I can feel that and I feel a connectedness to God through that. The other way in which that I think we can glorify God is by showing God's love to the people around us and by helping people feel seen and feel heard and extending that grace that God and Jesus gave to us. And so one of the ways that maybe I've been experiencing that most recently is through inviting other people to tell their stories of hope. And on that journey, for me, it was a journey to say in this season of uncertainty that we're living in, and sometimes where fear can win, there must still be hope. And there must be people who have been through things that are harder or just as hard as this and still experienced God's love or really felt connected to God. And so this journey of searching for hope, we've called it, is really a journey into hearing people's stories and where are they finding hope. And for many of them, it's in God. It's in their faith. It's in the community of believers around them. And so for me, I think that connectedness with other people is a lot of where I feel glorifying God is in feeling so comfortable and confident in myself or feeling so connected with myself that I can help others feel connected to themselves and feel loved and feel cared for. That happens in my work at MCI. A lot of what I do is getting to sit with students, listening to their stories of hurt, of hope, and of pain. And my job is to sit with them and say, you're going to be okay. I'm here for you. God's here for you. And to me, I think those moments and in those opportunities when we have a chance to show someone God's love and God's grace, those are real moments where I think we can glorify God. And it's not in some major way that is glorified or celebrated, but it's just in a simple hug. Maybe right now it can't be a hug. A simple smile, a simple wave, a simple saying, I understand. My journey is maybe not the same as yours, but I can empathize with yours. And I'm in this together with you. And so coming back to the question that I was asked, this whole idea of glorifying God in Psalm 100, and I would say it's two simple things. One, being in nature, really experiencing God's beautiful creation. And two, connecting to others, connecting to their stories, showing God's love, experiencing God's love through them. I really feel like God is glorified in that. So thank you for letting me share with you this morning. I hope in some way it's connected to you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday morning.
Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker.
us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Psalm 100, New International Version. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you to the Music Committee for your work in putting together this Songs of Praise worship service based on Psalm 100 and the question, what does it mean to glorify God? 2 weeks ago, when the Winkler Community Male Choir was not able to be here to participate in our worship service, we had instead put together a service called Sing to the Lord a New Song, which was also based on Psalm 100. On that Sunday, we suggested that Psalm 100 was likely sung as the people made their entry into the temple, coming into God's presence with singing. Then it was the choir of priests which took up the song just as the congregation passed through the gates of the temple and entered its courts. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. The words these people were singing in the context of worship were filled with meaning and purpose. They represented the bedrock of the Israelite faith. Two elements. First, God is good. How do we know this? Because God's steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations, past, present, and to come. God was the one who was creating, shaping, making, fashioning, stretching out, measuring, commanding everything into being. This is the God they were coming to worship, a God who is in favor of life. The community had experienced this goodness and faithfulness first and foremost by their liberation and exodus from Egypt. This was a God of the impossible. Abraham and Sarah having a son. Moses, Noah, Samuel, King David, a long line of unlikely characters. And so Israel sang its praises over and over again, sang them out of a long memory, sang them so they wouldn't forget. And secondly, the Lord of Israel alone is God, not the temple, not the Philistines or Egyptians or Syrians, not the army, Baal, not their own works, not even they themselves. God was God. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. No other power was a legitimate recipient of praise. And he goes on to say, it is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of his pasture. When we adhere to the boundaries set out in this verse, then so much of life tends to fall into place. I believe it is one major way in which we glorify God. From the time of Adam and Eve, there has been the constant temptation to find a way to live our lives on our terms instead of what God recommends. To live in this world on God's terms, respecting the boundaries, being in favor of life, recognizing others and ourselves as created in the image of God, is just so much more conducive to creating order out of our lives instead of chaos. Also, knowing who is in charge, that the Lord is God, builds trust and confidence, especially when God is known to be trustworthy and faithful. Besides taking seriously the implications of verse 3 as a way to glorify God, what else do we learn from Scripture in answer to this question? From the life of Jesus, we learn that he glorified the Father through his obedience. John 17:4, Jesus says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do." To glorify in John's gospel also meant the willingness to go to the cross. Jesus also implies that our obedience is a way to glorify God. John 15:8, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." He goes on to say, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." There is a second set of meanings to this word glorify, which have to do with honoring and praising, giving glory to, as in worship. Some examples. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. "Do you not know," says Paul, "that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And in Luke 5, verses 25 and 26, this is the story regarding the paralytic who was healed and forgiven. And it says, "And immediately he rose before them and took up that on which he lay and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Luke 7, verse 16, after the raising of the widow's son, "Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people.'" And in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, after hearing how the Holy Spirit had also come to the Gentiles, it says, "When they heard this," in other words, the testimony of Peter, "they were silenced, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life.'" I believe we also honor God when we do what Psalm 16, verse 8 suggests. "I keep the Lord always before me, not to the side or behind or out of sight." We follow after the one who goes before. We live differently when we're aware of God's presence. What causes incongruence for us is spending so much of our lives unaware of his presence. We allow ourselves to act and talk in ways that are not shaped or influenced by God's constant presence. Through praise is one way in which the psalmist keeps the Lord in the center of his attention. What we sing comes to inhabit our imaginations and develops within us, first, a consciousness of God, our vision of God, then our relationship with God, and ultimately, a response to the God we encounter as we sing. We are also formed into Christian community, and our life is formed as people empowered to love and serve Christ in the world. People describe an energy that surges from singing and a vision for the future that transforms lives. Music brings comfort, healing, peace, joy, and delight. It also probes, convicts, and propels us to action. Singing can become the vehicle of praise, confession, and intercession. It becomes a language of prayer. The songs we sing create an openness to God. They give us language for approaching God. They enable us to hear God, and they call forth our response to God. The songs of the church imprint Scripture on our minds and bring to life the narrative of Scripture. We eventually become what we sing and pray. And finally, a reminder from Princeton professor Patrick D. Miller, who says that one of the reasons we gather to worship is to remind ourselves in prayer and praise that the secular ability to live in a world without taking account of God is neither the last word nor the right one. The praise of God is the last word of faith. In praise, God gives us the last word. In response to all God offers us in creation and in the incarnation, we offer our songs of praise, and we indeed have the last word. Even the powers of evil cannot destroy that last word, the people's song of hope and praise. In 1973, in Santiago, Chile, the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende was overthrown by General Pinochet, whose military rule became known for brutal human rights abuses. During the takeover, 25,000 citizens were herded into the capital's sports stadium and held under arrest at gunpoint, while hour after hour, people were singled out to be taken below to be beaten. It was a scene of naked evil triumphant. But one of the people in the arena was Victor Jara, a Chilean folk singer who was one of the most popular in all of South America. He had his guitar with him, and so into the midst of the destruction of democracy and the terror of violence, a song was heard. The crowd hushed as they heard a familiar voice. Their fear subsided as they listened to songs of courage and hope. And though they were defeated, they began to believe again. The soldiers could not let this go on. They went up to Mr. Jara and said, "If you don't stop singing that song, we'll cut off your hands." And Victor looked them in the eye and kept strumming his guitar. He could not keep from singing, so they cut off his hands. And then they laughed at him, saying, "Now try to play your guitar." He could not, but Victor Jara could still sing. And so a cappella, he sang. The song went on. He couldn't keep from singing. The song went on and on until finally the soldiers fired their machine guns at him to make it stop. They killed the man, yes, but they could not kill the song. As long as the military ruled, the people would continue to sing of Victor Jara. As long as God gives breath and beyond, we will keep on singing. As Psalm 100, verse 3 reminds us, we are indeed the sheep of his pasture. We are his. He is still our good shepherd in all times, as illustrated by the following. A cold March wind danced around Dallas as the doctor walked into Diana Blessing's small hospital room. It was the dead of night, and she was still groggy from surgery. Her husband David held her as they braced themselves for the latest news. That rainy afternoon, March 10th, complications had forced Diana, only 24 weeks pregnant, to undergo emergency surgery. At 12 inches long and weighing only 1 pound, 9 ounces, Dana Liu arrived by cesarean delivery. They already knew she was perilously premature. Still, the doctor's soft words dropped like bombs. "I don't think she's going to make it," he said as kindly as he could. "There's only a 10% chance she will live through the night. If, by some chance, she does make it, her future could be a very cruel one." Numb with disbelief, David and Diana listened as the doctor described the devastating problems Dana would face if she survived. She would probably never walk or talk or see. She would be prone to other catastrophic conditions, from cerebral palsy to complete cognitive impairment, and on and on. Through the dark hours of mourning, as Dana held on to life by the thinnest thread, Diane slipped in and out of drugged sleep. But she was determined that their daughter would live to be a happy, healthy young girl. David suggested that they needed to talk about funeral arrangements, but Diane said, "No, I don't think so. I don't really care what the doctors say. I believe Dana is not going to die. One day she will be just fine, and she will be home with us." As if willed to live by Diane's determination, Dana clung to life hour after hour. But as those first rainy days passed, a new agony set in for David and Diana. Because Dana's underdeveloped nervous system was essentially raw, the least kiss or caress only intensified her discomfort, so that they couldn't even cradle their tiny baby. All they could do, as Dana struggled beneath the ultraviolet light, was to pray that God would stay close to their precious little girl. At last, when Dana was only 2 months old, her parents were able to hold her for the first time. And 2 months later, she went home from the hospital, just as her mother predicted, even though doctors grimly warned her that her chances of leading a normal life were almost zero. 5 years later, Dana is a petite but feisty young girl with glittering gray eyes and an unquenchable zest for life. She shows no sign of any mental or physical impairment. One blistering summer afternoon in Irving, Texas, Dana was sitting in her mother's lap at the ballpark where her brother's baseball team was practicing. As always, Dana was busy chattering when she suddenly fell silent. Hugging her arms across her chest, Dana asked her mom, "Do you smell that?" Smelling the air and detecting a thunderstorm approaching, Diane replied, "Yes, it smells like rain." Dana closed her eyes again and asked, "Do you smell that?" Once again, her mother replied, "Yes, I think we're about to get wet. It smells like rain." Caught in the moment, Dana shook her head, patted her thin shoulder, and loudly announced, "No, it smells like him. It smells like God when you lay your head on his chest." Tears blurred Diana's eyes as Dana happily hopped down to play with the other children before the rain came. Her daughter's words confirmed what Diane and the rest of the Blessing family had known all along. During those long days and nights of the first 2 months of her life, when her nerves were too sensitive to be touched, God was holding Dana on his chest, and it is his scent that she remembers so well. It is he that made us, and we are his. Thanks be to God. Amen. I would invite the music group to lead us in a final song.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name, and I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Our benediction this morning comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you, today and always. Amen.